Postal Service has taken some heavy losses in recent years, but like through blizzards and the gloom of night, it plows on, delivering mail to everything from urban skyscrapers to rural farmhouses. Congress has been trying to find a way to reform the service. Some are returning to the idea of doing away with pre-funding of healthcare requirements as a potential boon. Not everyone likes the idea. However, it's safe to say Congress is going to be looking into the Postal Service one way or another in its healthcare reform in this coming session. Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni has the story.
Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to establish post offices and postal roads. But that one tiny clause has been trouble lately for lawmakers. The Postal Service reported a more than $5 billion loss last year. But the Postal Service is a habit that the United States just doesn't want to break. There was an outcry when the Postal Service tried to cut its service to 5 days a week. And many rural communities rely on the Postal Service to serve them when private companies won't. So, lawmakers are looking for ways to keep the Postal Service running full-time despite the heavy losses it reports. How exactly they intend to do that is still up for debate, but it seems like changing the pre-funding health benefits requirement is still on the menu. Here's Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota speaking at a bipartisan Policy Center event in Washington.
The way I describe this is I say, if you think about the Postal Service, we've got our CEO, our managers, they're out there. Who's the board of directors for the Postal Service? We have these advisory committees, we have rate committees, I get that. But who's the board of directors? The United States Congress is the board of directors. And what do we expect the board of directors to do? Number one, listen. Listen to what those challenges are, not micromanage, that's not our job, but to set standards, to hold people accountable for meeting those standards, and to react when we have the situation that we have. What has the United States Congress done? They have exacerbated this problem by passing regulations on prepayment that no other business in America has to, standards that they have to meet.
Pre-funding health benefits has been a contentious issue since Congress mandated it for the post office in 2006. It's a little complicated. The layman version goes like this. If you work for a company that has pre-funded health benefits plan, the company sets aside money every year to pay for your retiree health benefits. When you retire, that money pays for your medical bills. Before 2006, the Postal Service was not pre-funded. It just paid retirees' health bills as they came in. But after Congress switched the Postal Service to a pre-funding plan, the Postal Service has had to put about $8 billion a year toward retiree health care. One proposal to fix that problem is to require postal retirees 65 and older to enroll in health care. Here's Jim Sauber, Chief of Staff for the National Association of Letter Carriers, on Medicare versus pre-funding.
86% of the Postal Service's reported losses since 2006 are attributable to this pre-funding burden. And I think when it was designed, the intention was to build the cost of that pre-funding burden into baseline rates. But we had the unlucky circumstance that the big recession hit at the very moment that the Postal Service had a one-time chance to build that cost in, and they just didn't. In retrospect, it's easy to say in hindsight, it would have been better to file a case, build the rates in, and then delay the implementation until after the recession. But that didn't happen. So what our position is, first and foremost, we have to come up with a sensible policy on pre-funding. And there's a couple of things we can do. One is to fully integrate with Medicare. And you heard Congressman Meadows talk about the Postal Service should act more like a business. Well, in private sector, among Fortune 1000 companies, almost all of whom offer retiree health insurance, it's standard practice that at age 65, people enroll in Medicare. And that should be done. It would add 0.2% to Medicare spending over the next 10 years, but it would have real savings. It's not just a pure cost shift. It would give postal employee health plans that cover postal employees, direct access to very inexpensive prescription drugs.
Getting fiscal conservatives to sign on to that plan may be a tough sell. Here's Representative Mark Meadows of North Carolina.
Right now, if you look at current trend lines on Medicare, it is not a pretty sight, 9 to 11 years. And so when we look at that, adding to that burden, that is not good. However, that being said, is some of the reforms that happened in 2006, I think we have to address that. And if we can come about that in a manner which says, okay, we learned from our mistakes. Here's a cost associated with it. And I can get Kevin Brady, Chairman Brady, on Ways and Means to go along with me on that. We're having meaningful discussions with that. I'm not one that just wants to shift cost. You know, we're looking at about a, in my mind, about a $6 billion deficit. That doesn't get us all the way. And so how do we get, you know, the other $3 billion or so? And you've got more learned people, obviously, that are going to be on a panel that can speak to that. But we are at least looking at that, but just not to try to hide the cost, but to try to adjust it and make it work.
Stuck in the middle is the Government Accountability Office, which has yet to make a report on the cost of Medicare integration. Lori Rickdonis, the Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at GAO, says the numbers are flying too fast and furious right now for the GAO to make an estimate.
What we would want to see is a true consensus among the stakeholders as to exactly what kind of numbers we're talking about, what it means for Medicare now, what it means in the future, and also what it means for the Postal Service. Because even if we did the integration, the Postal Service would still need to put aside money for the FEHB part of those benefits. I think the second issue that it raises is right up until now, postal retirees have been treated the same as other federal retirees. So if you start to mandate Medicare, if you treat their benefits differently, you're potentially looking at a slippery slope. And one could argue then if we want to treat them as employees of private agencies, look at what's been happening in the private sector when we have organizations who aren't fully funded in their retirement and health areas. You know, some not so good things have happened.
Rickdonis also says while the pre-funding requirement is draining the Postal Service, the service is also losing money through its failing business model. For that, Heidkamp and Meadows have more concrete suggestions. Heidkamp says Congress needs to re-examine closing process centers as a way to save money.
We've never been able to get the numbers on whether, and there's always a big fight, and you can talk to the folks over at GAO, we've never been able to get the numbers on whether, in fact, closing those processing centers has really reaped the huge, you know, financial benefit or the cost savings. But it has dramatically affected the speed to which the mail is delivered. You will never convince me otherwise. When mail has to go from Minot down to Bismarck to be processed, to be sent back up to Minot to go out to the communities, you can't tell me that that's going to be faster.
Other ideas include integrating other service with the post office, like banking. While some think the idea could increase revenue and help rural towns, others are wary of the Postal Service entering into a completely new business. In Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share the story with colleagues. Go to FederalNewsRadio.com/FederalDrive and click Share with Friends.